Burns.
Excuse.
Senator Hastert.
Here.
Senator Perkins.
Here.
Senator Wasserberger.
Here.
Co-Chairman Harshman.
Here.
Chairman Ross.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Senator Burns here.
Senator Burns is here. Okay, well, welcome to our new superintendent, Balo. And would you introduce yourself, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Diane Bailey. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Education.
Great. So, welcome. It's your first chance to appear before this rough and tough committee. And looking forward to hearing your comments. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think since I've been in the room, this has been called the belly of the beast and the meat grinder. So I'm not sure what I'm stepping into, but I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you. And I'd just like to take a moment to introduce the staff that's with me today. You'll be seeing them throughout the legislative session. We have a strong presence, in part to underscore our appreciation to all of you and our willingness to serve as a resource and assist you with anything that you need during the legislative session and interim. So beside me, she introduced herself, our Chief Financial Officer, Diane Bailey. She was promoted from within the Department of Education recently from the Director of the Financial Division. She's also been the CFO for School Facilities Commission and is very adept, and we're honored to have her on board. Behind me is Jed Ciccarelli, who works primarily on School Foundation, Trent Carroll, who works primarily on our WDE budget, and then we also have Chief of Staff Dickie Shaner, who is new to WDE, but not new to me. We've been working together for about a year, and again, honored to have him on board as a leader. And then Bill Novotny, who is with us through the session, and he is serving as the legislative liaison and working diligently to make sure that we're all up to speed. So, again, lots of other partners in education here, but that's the WDE staff. Again, we're all looking very forward to this legislative session and continuing to build and renew a relationship with our legislature. As many of you know, I've had conversations with most of you one-on-one or in small groups, and upon being elected and working on the transition, and now about 2 weeks into being state superintendent, we've had two main internal goals. One has been to just look at a reorganization of the Department of Education, which includes dealing with a number of human resources issues and a thorough budget analysis. And then number two is just ensuring that we're on track to meet all of our state and federal directives and mandates. It's these two projects that bring me before you today. And I just want to start by providing a little bit of context. In 2011-2012, my predecessor and the newly elected state superintendent had 158 authorized positions in the Department of Education with some nominal vacancies. For 2015-16, currently, we have 143 positions, so down 15 positions, and we have approximately 34 vacancies in the Department of Education right now. So we're running about 70% capacity, and obviously that's what I like to refer to as survival mode on many days when we are just working to meet compliance and our basic obligations. We've been very fortunate again to bring on this stellar leadership team. We feel that it's dynamic in structure, and we have pulled the best and the brightest from school districts across the state in an effort to really build that capacity. But we also know that they're not going to take the work or do the work of 34 people. We want to take our time in filling those positions, make sure not only that we have the right people, but we have the right people doing the right work. So we also, as we have restructured the Department of Education, have and I can certainly supply this. It's hard to envision without a visual in front of you, and I apologize. I probably should have brought it, but we have eliminated one of the leadership positions from the former superintendent structure in a cost savings to about $30,000 to the state in the 005 budget. We have a clear chain of command with the new organizational structure, and it's simple and dynamic. We will be able to better respond to districts, to the legislature, and to other stakeholders with our new organizational structure and leaders, which is our primary job. We really are anxious to put an end to this sort of calls to nowhere reputation that the department has taken on in the last several years. And, you know, as we have reviewed, that's the first part of our task over the last few weeks, few months. The second part has been really to do a thorough review or scouring of the budget. And I have to be honest, wanted to come before you today with some grand, great exception request, even though it's against my better judgment as a state leader to ever come with an exception request. I want you to know that we have scoured the budget, that we have looked carefully, we have turned over every rock. Just to talk about a couple of things that are important to me. Number one is we want to make sure that we have enough money in the budget for assessment. It looked like there might be a shortfall. As we really started digging into the budget, we do have enough to have an assessment basically for the next biennium. The next rock that we overturned was data security. I appreciate the efforts of this legislature and the bill that's forthcoming from the Joint Education Committee to address some of this with a fiscal impact that will cover that. And again, as we started turning over some of the smaller rocks, we started seeing some great opportunities to collaborate and partner with other agencies and state government to address some of the data security issues for the coming months, training money and just additional outreach opportunities with other agencies, including Homeland Security and others. So that brings us to HR issues. And I think it's really important to note and underscore, as most of you are aware, I am the fifth leader at the Department of Education in 4 years. And that, of course, everyone is coming in with something different. I'm here to stay, I promise you, if you'll allow me. But I also want to just underscore that in that time, with five state superintendents, there have been six HR directors or supervisors. And with each of those different supervisors, certainly a number of priorities have come to light, a number of gaps or issues have come to light, and there have been attempts to address them. And I don't want to say that, that there's nothing in place, but there's nothing completely in place. So let me just talk for a moment about that. With respect to HR issues, we have JCQs, job content questionnaires that might not necessarily be aligned with the job that person is doing, nor with the budget that they're being paid from. We want to make sure that that's cleaned up. We have a number of alternative work schedules, work locations, et cetera, that need to be documented and approved by the state superintendent in A&I. We're not sure that paperwork and those extensions are all made in a way that is prudent and tidy. And there are a number, again, with 34 vacancies, a number of opportunities to look and say, are we doing the right work with the right people? And then, again, recruiting and retaining the very best. So at this time, I'm going to turn the mic over to CFO Diane Bailey, and Diane, I've encouraged her before then to just speak out and not necessarily defer to me, and I would hope that you would do the same. Thank you.
Is there any questions of Superintendent Bailey? Okay, Diane.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. As I introduced myself before, I'm Diane Bailey, Chief Financial Officer for the WDE. as Superintendent Velo stressed right before she turned this over to me, that reorganization in HR is the subject of our budget request today and the letter that we brought before you. We currently have one HR employee for this entire agency, and she's responsible not only for the day-to-day activities that an HR director brings, but also she just came on board recently, and there's lots of cleanup work during this transition time. With this reorganization, there, as the superintendent indicated, there's a need to review all employees' JCQs to ensure that they fit our new org chart. And we also think it's important to develop a department-wide tracking system. This database would track every WDE deadline that we have, the legislative deadlines, the federal deadlines, and a multitude of others. The system that we envision would be open to the public, and it would be user-friendly, and it would ensure that not only WDE leadership and team, but the general public as well have access to see our work and our deadlines and provide transparency on the things that we're working on. The need for an HR expert is critical to our success in putting processes back in place and ensure that we have the skills, the talent, and the focus needed to go forward as an agency. We believe, based on previous AWAC contracts for similar work, that it will take about $130,000 to pay for an expert with previous experience with this agency to provide all the work that we just spoke of, the transition, HR, the reorganization, and the department-wide deadline tracking database. This would be a time-limited need for this funding, just for 1 year. The request is for 1 year. And we do have, as an agency, a vacant AWAC position right now, so we're not asking for an additional position. But this position that we identified is funded in the a federal budget right now. So we were looking for the funding, and we brainstormed about ways that we could get that funding for that AWAC. We would be grateful if this body would entertain a notion of allowing us to use $130,000 of funding that is scheduled to revert to the general fund for this AWAC position. We have a 13-14 Agency 206 administration budget. I believe that's the second page right after the letter, shows the balance currently in that. And so over on the far right column under balance, it shows just over $130,000 remaining in that budget. Excuse me. We would like to move this funding, if you so desire, and give this funding to us into our 15-16 budget and recognize it in its own budget unit for tracking purposes. And at the end of the contract period, the 1 year period, any remaining funds would then revert to the general fund. When we determined this need for this request, we considered three options. The first one, we talked about using our own 100 series funds, but in looking through that, of course, we're only a quarter of the way through the biennium, but in looking through that and knowing that we, as an agency, are going to try to fill a lot of those vacant positions, we don't believe that we could carve out the $130,000 from our 15-16 100 series. The second option that we looked at was, well, maybe we could just contract with this person, do 900 series. So we looked at that as well. We believe that it would be an advantage to find a highly qualified person if we could offer an AWAC contract in the 100 series, because they are able to buy into the benefits package. And I think that might be important to a qualified person. And then we looked at the 900 series as well. We have, on a biennial budget request for Agency 206, we have considerably less 900 series than we do 100 series. And in speaking to various program managers, didn't see a lot of room for to use 900 series to offer a contract to this person. So our third and final option that we came up is what we bring to you today through this letter. And that's our request that we be allowed to carry forward 13-14 funding and use that to cover our critical need for this AWAC position. That's the end of my plea. I do thank you for your time and consideration, and after any questions that you may have for us, I'll turn this discussion back to the superintendent.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, just so a couple questions, I guess, on your – and I'm trying to pull up last year's – I mean, we've got this into two separate agencies now. Is the plan going to continue with 05 and 206? I guess that's my first question. And then, you know, let's just talk 05 for a minute. There's eight positions in there. Are you going to use all those positions in eight? I mean, they weren't. We funded eight. They used about five to increase salaries for the other. I don't know. But are we going to use eight? Is it overstaffed? Because I don't want to get into that thing where we're going to leave three positions open and then use the money to increase salaries for the remaining employees. So my first question is on 05, and are there going to be reversions from 05, from 13-14, and how much, and how many employees out of those eight authorized?
Ann?
Mr. Co-Chair, I believe that you're right. You're correct. There are eight positions in there. As Superintendent Balo indicated in her opening remarks, we are leaving one position vacant, not filling that position. We believe that we can do the work without that position, and there will be a cost savings and a reversion. What it is right now, I'm not positive. We, in looking at it originally, it was around $30,000. The request that we're making, and you're right, this is a unique situation. We have three agencies. We have 005, 206, which is Department of Education, and then 205, which is the school foundation. And whether, you know, you asked originally, were we going to leave it like that? That would be entirely up to this body, I think.
Sure.
I will tell you that it was an interesting experience to move over all the people, all the retirement, all the MVMS charges, all the myriad of things that you know, come out of an agency, and move that from one agency number to another. We had to shut down for almost a month before we could get that done. And this was in conjunction with working with the state auditor's office and LSO and all kinds of different agencies trying to help us out. It was something that I don't think had ever been done before. And so now, except for two budgets, we are entirely in 206. So if we move back to 005, it would be another huge conversion. If you move the two budgets from 005 to 206, it would be easy. But
okay.
That's entirely up to this group. I think that would be a good discussion to have before the 17-18, before next year.
Right.
That could be done as we did in the 15-16.
Now, Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
And then what are, and I'm just looking, just trying to refresh my memory. In 05, school finance was just those three positions. Those are just moving funds mainly.
205.
And so, and Mr. Chairman, then, so in 05, seven out of the eight positions you're talking, and then in 206, 132 positions. You're down, you said 30. What was the total open?
Mr. Chairman, we're down approximately 34 positions.
34 out of the 132. Okay, and then let's just talk. And then my final question, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll try to get to a question here. What are the reversions? I mean, certainly there's going to be more than 30,000 reversions out of those three agencies for 13-14. And have you processed those yet? Have they come to the general fund yet? Because we've had a $222 million budget hole that we're going to try to fill. So reversions are going to play a key part of that.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the committee, anticipating this might be a question, I had Trent Carroll of my staff run a reversion scenario for 206, which has most of our budgets, but not most of our money. Most of our money is in 205 in school finance. But so in that one, this includes the 130, though, thousand that we're asking for here. We would potentially be reverting, and we have not done that yet, but we will be reverting $1.5 million.
And those are school foundation dollars?
Those are almost all general fund. There is some school foundation.
When do you, Mr. Co-Chair, when are those going to be processed?
I believe that in the next month we plan on having that done. As you can guess, we've had some challenges that are out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But ordinarily we would try to have that done sooner than this. It just, since we didn't, we thought we'd make this proposal to this group.
Thank you, Mr. Coach.
I will also say that we have reverted in 205. They needed that for Matt Wilmarth's projections, and I'm going to reach back and ask Trent if he remembers how much that was. Trent, do you know how much was reverted in 205? So almost $130 million. And then we do have some encumbered funds that still need to be cleaned out.
Mr. Co-Chair, $930, was that all school foundation?
That's all school foundation.
No federal?
Yeah.
And have those been, Don, have those reflected on the goldenrod then already?
Mr. Chairman, I believe they have. And they not only are reflected, but they move to the PLF holding account and then were swept into.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, perfect.
They're swept where? I'm sorry?
I believe they would show up as excess 1314 revenue, which would ultimately sweep to the corpus of the Common School Permanent Land Fund.
And has that sweep taken place?
I believe it has. I'll double-check for this afternoon, but I'm quite certain it has.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, could you just walk through that a little bit slower for us that don't really understand how much it is and what it is? I mean, I think that would be pretty useful.
Probably be great if Don could do that.
Mr. Chairman, at the end.
Mr. Chair, can we just back up even further to why are there those reversions? Is it lack of enrollment? What's the reason before we get to how it moves?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the school funding program is based upon estimates of reimbursements for transportation, which is 100%, reimbursements of special education, which is 100%, estimates of revenue, and, of course, appropriations for the model. Oftentimes, a number of activities increase and decrease over the course of a biennium. For example, we may estimate 8% increase in group health insurance, and some years it's zero, and some years it's 16%. And enrollments, as you indicated, we estimate 1% year-over-year increase in enrollment. Sometimes it's slightly higher, sometimes lower. Obviously, often the funds generated from federal mineral royalties and assessed valuations are also different than the CREG estimates. At the end of each biennium, LSO staff works with the department staff and identifies the total amount of revenues and expenditures, not only for the school foundation program, but also for the school facilities department. They collect because all three of those accounts on page four of the profile are linked together. It takes about 90 days after the end of the biennium to reconcile final revenue and expenditure funds. Once those are reconciled, we set in motion the sweeps. And the sweeps move down the page from the school foundation program into the school capital construction account and then finally into the permanent land fund holding account. If there are funds in excess of $475 million at the bottom of the page, which is a legal threshold for that account currently, then any monies in excess of $475 million sweep to the common school permanent land fund. That is a permanent corpus, the funds of which cannot be spent. The interest and investment earnings can be spent in perpetuity. This year, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was roughly $200 million, of which I presume the $130 million as well as excess funds in the school capital construction account would have made up that deposit into the permanent fund.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Burns.
Didn't I hear the other day that that threshold had been increased from 475 to 550?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, the governor recommends increasing the threshold on that from 475 to 550. That will require, if you agree, that will require an act of the legislature to increase that threshold.
Okay.
Mr.
Go ahead.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Diane, just a couple quick questions. One, on the timing of this position and funding, do you anticipate it beginning as soon as funding is available, or are you thinking of, is it after July 1st? Is it at the end of the year? When that year-long contract, what time frame do you expect it to be?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Stubson, we would appreciate if this could be effective immediately and start as quickly as possible.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, the sort of the tasks that you laid out for this employee or contract employee, the last few years, one of the big issues we've had is the alignment of employees with the federal grant dollars that they receive. And, I mean, is that something that's been tackled, or do you envision that as being part of this process as well?
Both. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman and Representative Stubson, both. We have seen a need. We in the 15-16 budget, we based everyone in a single budget. Instead of using the biennial budget to try to do our time and effort things, we just base them in the budget that is where they do the majority of their work, and then through time and effort sheets and tracking on their part, then if they work on other initiatives, then they do that themselves. Another thing that we're working on right now that would be also something that this person that we're talking about would focus on is we are developing through our budget management system, which is a system that pulls Wolf's information over and provides a database that's a little more user-friendly than Wolf's. We had our developer work on a report that will do everything automatically, that we can have employees and their supervisors sign off electronically, that it would take away the human error in this process and that it would interface with the Wolf system. And if we get this all the way through, and it's been a long haul, but I think that we will be the first agency that is a total electronic time and effort agency. And yes, this person would have some focus in that area as well, because we are not finished with that effort.
Are you done, Senator or Representative? Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Diane, while I can appreciate the need for this position, one of the things that concerns me is an HR person who's an AWAC. And so I'm curious if you've thought about other alternatives. And the reason being that, an AWAC serves directly at the pleasure of his or her supervisor or boss. And that was a concern, in particular with HR. And so I'm curious if you have thought, or if you could think a little bit more about another place that, or another line that this position could come from.
Ma'am?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Connolly, because this is just a one-year time-limited effort to get everything back on track, we do have a HR person that's a permanent employee, and she is the HR director for the agency. This person would bring some previous expertise, hopefully, and some guidance for us as an agency and help us to, as you can imagine, as the superintendent indicated, we've had six HR people, many of which were not HR people before they came to our agency during the last 4 years. And so there are a lot of holes in the processes right now. And this is very overwhelming for this individual, that the permanent employee that's here right now. And she, I want you to know she's doing a wonderful job in a very difficult situation. But so if I hopefully I've answered your question, the fact that this is just a time-limited kind of a backbone position to help this permanent position go forward, that I do, I think this might be all right in as an AWAC.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly, if I could just add to that, thank you. That's a great question that we hadn't entertained too much because we know what needs to be done. And it's not necessarily, as Diane pointed out, the day-to-day challenges of an HR person. These are ancillary duties that really will make our agency more effective and more efficient now and down the road. It's really more to do with tidying things up, analyzing JCQs, putting things in motion so that we can be more effective and more efficient as an agency. I certainly appreciate the legislature and others' efforts to assure that the HR person is insulated from sort of that at-will status or the at-the-pleasure of the director or the state superintendent. And if they're, I'm going to throw this out as at a great risk of first of all being incredibly naive and opening up a can of worms, but if there is a way that perhaps you know this person could not be at the pleasure of the state superintendent, just to put that layer of insulation in, certainly we would be amenable to that.
Diane, you've indicated that this person that you're seeking would have some previous expertise. Have you identified somebody at this point?
On the short list is someone who has performed this for us before. Karen Kelly was our HR director for many years and did an excellent job, and she left shortly after the last administration took office. And I believe that it was Dr. Rose, when he was the interim director, brought her back, and with some of this same effort, and had a lot of things straightened out, cleaned up, and but as you know, more things happened after that, and so it's things are in disarray again.
So. We don't want to go back to that.
No.
Okay. Any further? Yes. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I just had one question I wanted to be sure of regarding the statewide tracking system, which is a great idea. But I just want to make sure you've got the technological expertise in-house to do that, and you've got the software to do that, and you won't be back in a year requesting money to get that done. Is that fair?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Greer, I know we have the technical expertise. I'm not positive about the software, but I will not be back. I personally will not be back to ask you for that particular item. Someone has to write that down, so I'll make sure.
And Mr. Chairman and Representative Greer, if I can add to that just a little bit, coming from the Department of Family Services, ironically, Director Corsi asked me one day, he said, hey, you know, I'd really like to get our agency to where Department of Education is with their budget management system. Have you looked at it? And I kind of giggled and thought, you know, one of the greatest challenges for me moving from the Department of Family Services, Department of Education and then over to the Governor's Office and then Family Services was not having that simple snapshot of agency budgets, and truly we would like to sort of blaze the trail in terms of providing that snapshot of the budget to state employees versus the complexities that Wolf's presents.
Let me ask you a question here for either one of you. If you're down 34 positions, why not just revert the money that's due back to us and use one of those positions for that?
Mr. Chairman, Great question, and certainly we thought about this. We believe that this position is time limited, that once there's some tidying and some cleanup to do, that this position will no longer be needed. I'm not completely sure on this, but I believe that the ratio of HR folks to state employees is about one HR person to every 100 staff, and we have about 1.5 people right now. So we're adequately staffed for business as usual. However, we have a number of challenges that are presented in terms of HR, and we really believe that if we can recruit and retain someone for about a year, that we will not only have the ability to be more effective and efficient, but we will also have the ability to take a more careful look and analyze those 34 vacancies to make sure that the work of assisting school districts and of meeting our state and federal mandates is met.
Senator Perkins.
Thanks. Just following up on that, with the 34 positions, if I understood what you just said, that you're analyzing those positions, are you anticipating that you're going to refill the 34 or some number of the 34, and that's part of what this person is going to do is help you right-size the department with respect to those positions?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, that's exactly right. I know that this committee can appreciate the state of uncertainty at the Department of Education at this time, not only that is presented with 34 vacancies, but also in light of the changing landscape in education. I often find myself saying there's a new normal in education, and we need to make sure that the Department of Education is staffed with the best and brightest so that we can meet those challenges and continue to provide assistance to school districts and stakeholders across the state. Not to say that we're going to get all crazy with these 34 positions, but we do want to take our time, and we want to make sure that we have the right people doing the right work. And I keep glancing back because I'm looking for, and he's here, our Chief Policy Officer, Brent Young. And Brent is one example of this structure of leaders that we brought in from the school districts. He is an up-and-coming leader from Laramie County School District 1. We have we've pulled from Laramie County School District 2, and we're about to continue pulling the best and brightest education leaders from across the state to staff the WDE. And we're very honored that Brent Young is with us as well as the others. But I guess my point is that we have capacity building to do, and HR will this will allow us to continue to build the capacity of the WDE and rebuild the institutional and historical knowledge that's been lost.
What, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So just follow that just a little bit further. The how long have the 34 positions been vacant from the biennium? Have they been vacant for since July 1, or do we know?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Perkins, I wouldn't know offhand, but I could run those numbers for you. But I know some of them have been, yes, indeed, vacant since the beginning of the biennium.
If I understood what you just said just a minute ago, what you're really going to do is you're going to look at those 34 positions, and what you want is the flexibility to analyze whether that's 34 or whether it's 24, but also to use the Series 100 money so you can reallocate the salaries where you want them to be as well. Is that what you're telling us?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, that is correct.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we get an organizational chart, a copy of an organizational chart?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Moniz, absolutely. Please note that the organizational chart that we will provide you with is pretty much that linear structure. Of course, it's much more dynamic than you can see on paper, but also can appreciate and understand that sometimes it's easier to look at that. If I could just sort of explain, prior to my coming into office, there were a number of of division directors, a row of about seven or so division directors that reported directly to a deputy superintendent. What we've done is we've made a more dynamic structure. We have the chief policy officer, chief academic advisor, chief financial officer, and a chief of staff. And so that those division directors can be closer to the work and closer to their areas of expertise, whether that be special education, federal programs, assessment, standards and accountability, and so forth. Mr. Chairman and Representative Moniz, we will get that to you.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Superintendent Bailo. I was just looking at past, because I was just going to ask the same question on the organizational charts, too, and I would look forward to that. I just, the legislative liaison position is kind of a new thing for me to see, and I just wondered if that's something that's going to be, you feel is ongoing, is going to be something in your agency, is it going to be in the 05? Are we going to see that there? I guess where would, you know, that position be coming from? And then I have a follow-up to Don about the reversions, if I may.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hastert, great question. The legislative liaison is as a direct result of the many critical issues that are facing the Department of Education that are arising in this legislative issues or legislative session. There are a number of bills that are coming before you and before the Department of Education, and we were a week into office when the legislative session started, so I'm sure that you can appreciate the challenges, and we want to make sure that we are able to assist you and be a relevant resource for you all as you make important decisions related to education. That is time limited, and Mr. Novotny is with us through the legislative session.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just Don, if I may, you had mentioned when you were explaining the reversions and that part of that sweep into the permanent account that you had thought that the 130 was part of that. Was that a result? Remind me. Was the reversions, they go back into the fund, were they swept into the permanent account because the level in the holding account reached its maximum, or is there a separate item for reversions?
Don?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hastert, any excess funds, whether lower expenditures than expected or higher revenues than expected, transferred to the permanent fund as a result of that hitting this $475 million threshold. I would mention just a couple of things from my prior comments. The department, along with LSO staff, worked very similarly through the school foundation program funding as the state auditor's staff did with respect to general funds. That is, we looked back about a decade or so and cleaned up a number of the excess revenues, not just from the most recent biennium, but prior biennium. And I think I could be wrong, but I believe when the department is referring to the term reversions, it's somewhat different than what other agencies deem reversions. I believe they're using the term to include excess revenue as well as excess expenditures, whereas most agencies look at just excess expenditures because they get an appropriation, not a receipt of revenue.
Don, can you explain to me, in your comments when you're presenting the CREG, you indicated that the school foundation program was $57.9 million short at this time. And in trying to track that through the goldenrod, I become lost. Can you help me there?
Mr. Chairman, it was a 57 or $58 million reduction in revenue from the October estimate. That does not mean that the fund itself is insufficient to cover existing obligations.
Okay. All right.
In fact, even with the governor's recommendation of $15 million for the external cost adjustment, that page between the capital construction account and the operations account is still $2 million above water.
Okay, I got it.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. On your budget request, but is this something that you've discussed with the governor's office? Is this something that we will see in a governor's letter? I just don't remember if the department usually does that.
Well, actually, we do have in our rules that state elected officials can make their request, as we passed just the other day. Okay, Senator Perkins.
I just had one quick question for Don. Don, the unit 6102 was one of the net to zero on the adjustments. That doesn't have any effect on this request, really, does it? Because that was really just the allocation and the net to zero between the division and this old and the superintendent's office.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, I don't believe that that has any impact.
Okay.
Okay. Any further questions for the superintendent or staff that's here today? Well, we thank you for taking the time to come see us. It's a pleasure to have you on board. We look forward to working with you in the future. And, yes.
Just like to ask one last question. I would
sure.
like to ask the superintendent of public instruction if she learned enough in her American government class to handle this job.
Are you shilling for yourself?
Yeah, let's preface that. Who was the teacher of that class?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wasserberger, it's a unique thing to have a teacher that's the same age as you, first of all. And Senator Wasserberger was my government teacher, an excellent government teacher in high school. He was not my accounting teacher, so I appreciate the opportunity to muddle through with the Joint Appropriations
bill,
Committee today.
Okay, well, that was enough suck up right there. All right. Anything further? Thank you for coming today. We look forward to working with you in the coming session. And the sooner you can get the reversions to us, the better. Please? Thank you.
Minus 130,000.